Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Come with me. Isn't it great having the Newland family back?
Yeah.
All right. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We've been talking about discipleship, and I want to talk this morning about being a disciple. Being a disciple. What does it entail? Obviously, there's a lot of things, so I just want to concentrate on three areas this morning of being a disciple, because I want us to be a disciple-making church. I don't simply want to just be here for myself or ourselves. I want us to actually touch our neighbours, our friends, our community, and across nations. We have the ability. We have resources that can go beyond and make disciples in other lands. And I'm trusting and I'm even prophesying into being that we're going to have more church plants than we have right now. We're going to have things happen. And areas where we're friends with people, I just bumped into a friend yesterday who yelled out to me, who happened to recognize me when I was going for a push bike ride, trying to get home before it pelted down with rain. And he said, yelled out to me, Nigel, I'm looking around, there's this big ute, had no idea. And someone I hadn't seen for quite a long time, a real estate agent friend of mine, back in town. We must catch up. I'm telling you, when there's the Spirit of God on us, there is a relationship that people find it very difficult to get away from. There must be a conviction about the call of God on your life. Because if you're not called by God, you will be ineffective for the kingdom of God. So right here, right now, we've got to determine, I'm going to be called by God. Without conviction, very little is accomplished long term. Without conviction, we never would have been able to go through all the legalities and everything to actually build the kingdom of God here in this place in Fremantle. We are still the first Pentecostal church to own land here in this city, and I'm so glad because we're breaking spiritual dynamics that were over this town. But there's got to be a conviction to follow through. 15 years in God's eyes as a church is nothing to him. Well, I suppose the first five are kind of like getting going. We nearly became extinct about seven times, I think it was, in the first 7 years. So let's just take it from even the last 10 years. It's still a young church. There's lots that we can achieve. And so, disciples follow Jesus. Let's put this up. Disciples follow Jesus. Who's a follower of Jesus here this morning? Come on. Should be, wow, there's a follower of Jesus here this morning. And they follow another leader. Oh, what? Huh? Why am I going to follow somebody else? Isn't it just about me and God? Disciples always are prepared to follow someone else. And this principle was established from the beginning of God's people. It's easy to say that you follow Jesus. But being a disciple requires certain humility to accept good counsel from other God-loving people. People who care about you. In this church, there are people that's why we're doing such a run on connect groups at the moment, because when you are in a small group, people care about you. Those people are out looking out for you. This should happen within the church that you attend, because God has placed us together so that we will grow together like iron sharp irons, the Bible says in Proverbs. But it's more than that. It's because God has uniquely placed all of us together with our unique giftings so that we can be discipled together amongst each other and rub off on one another to build the greatest kingdom possible, His kingdom. And so your call to a Let me put it this way. Moses accepted Jethro's advice. Go back to Exodus. Moses accepted Jethro's advice on how to lead the people of Israel in order not to wear him out. Every one of us needs advice from somebody else, yeah? Every one of us. And here's Jethro, his father-in-law. That's an interesting mix just there. His father-in-law. His father-in-law says, no, you shouldn't do it that way. What are you doing? You're wearing yourself out. I want you to start and have leaders over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, over tens. And Jethro says to Moses, if you do this thing, place people in positions of authority, like I've just mentioned, then you will be able to endure and all of God's people will go to their place in peace. Who'd like to have more peace in their life? Peace comes because we're able to actually connect with one another and get alongside one another and help one another. And it's too much work for one person to do. And so God has a design called the house of God, his church, so that we can all connect in our groups and we can all be a part of a service team so that we can be the best possible disciples and that we know as a church that we can affect our world. And so what Jesus is saying when he says, go therefore, is that you will go. Who's a disciple here this morning? Put your hands up again. Will you go? Will you go to your neighbor? Will you go to your connect group? Will you go to your friends when they're in need? Will you get alongside someone who's unchurched, who knows a little bit about God, but who needs some prayer? Because that's what being a disciple is. And so Jethro had been observing how Moses was leading the people. And he said to Moses, the thing that you do is not good. Sometimes we've got to be told the way you're doing it's not good. And then Jethro proceeds to give him his wisdom on the situation. I used to do a fair bit of garden maintenance, especially in this time of year, when the church was building in Numbers, and I was not being paid, so I did some lawn mowing and I did some garden maintenance. And one of the things I actually found really cool was one of the things I enjoyed was actually pruning rose bushes. And I was because rose bushes, well, they're pretty hard to kill anyway, so you can actually get the chainsaw out if you want to. And is that better? You can get the, how's that? Better? That's better. You can get the chainsaw, but I want to talk to you about one particular part of healthy roses. Healthy roses, don't they look just magnificent wherever they are? We all agreed. They look great. And healthy roses, they grow errant offshoots. They're this lighter green shoot near their base, and they are actually there to rob all the nutrients and all the things. They don't flower, these errant offshoots, but they're there to try and rob before it gets up the stem to the beautiful flower. So you've got to get rid of the errant shoots. Now, they are working against the flow of the plant, of the bush. The harmony and the health of the entire bush is in jeopardy the longer you leave the errant shoots there. And you will lead your best possible life from a place of unity, from a place of helping the family, the body grow. From this place, God commands his blessing. And so we cannot be an errant shoot off on our own thinking that we have God and that's all we need. We need to be together enjoying one another and feeding off one another and the word of God so that we will grow into his best disciple. Listen to this in John 15. We looked at this last week. John 15, verse 13. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. Our fruit is greatest, most brilliant, when we are prepared to work with people God has placed with us to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And how can you stay connected to the vine if you won't graft? Nurseries graft. They insert in a groove of a healthy stock plant a shoot or scion so that it may become nourished and be united with it. Most of the plants you buy at Bunnings or wherever, most of them, a lot of them have been grafted. You notice that they come off the side of another shoot and they come up. They've been grafted in. And discipleship is to reproduce through grafting. See, Paul said it. Look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He's saying what? Imitate me. Just as I also imitate Christ. Or you should follow my example just as I follow Christ's. You know, observation is one of the greatest teachers that we have. I love observing how people do things. And I would say, if you're in a team or you're working together, to ask questions and say, observe with the intent to learn, yeah. Observe how someone else leads, how someone else preaches. Jordan must have been taking notes from me, hey? I'm sure Jordan's got a lot of wisdom of his own. But observe, because you've got to get the culture of the house that you're in. So you've got to know how to do the way, even in a connect group, there's a certain culture in each connect group. So you've got to learn. And so we have to be able to observe so that we can actually graft in, yeah? And then personal growth is going to happen because out of observation, learning comes. And God's able to use you and mold you because you're able to be unified with the body. And so, if you have a pen or one of those notes on your phone, write these three words. Observe, learn, grow. Observe, learn, grow. So secondly, first thing about being a disciple, what were we saying? First thing about being a disciple is that we've got to follow others. The second thing about being a disciple is that we've got to be secure in our own identity. So many insecurities. What did I been talking about last couple of weeks? Love God. Out of your love for God, insecurities become less. And so, your best life is when you are being you, yeah? Not when you're trying to be somebody else. Not trying to conform to the pattern of this world, the Bible says. But allowing God by His Spirit to infill you with the things He has given you and to live out your life with those things. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Put in about five words, be honest in the estimation of yourself. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Who you are, and develop those things to be the best possible unit you can be in the house of God. So what are you good at? Do those things. I love Gus serving in the house of God. Does anyone really enjoy his smile? How cool is Gus? Every day I get, he's beating me to church at the moment. All the time he's here. It's such a great thing to have Gus buzzing around, you know, smiley. He never, ever seems to... I don't know what he says to his wife when he gets home, but here it's good. I'm sure it's great. What giftings do you have? Everyone's got a gift that they can use to build the house of God. And what giftings can you improve? What can you improve on? You've got certain giftings, you're a bit rusty. Could they be used to benefit the house of God? Some of you can play musical instruments, I know. I'm aware. I've got my little ferrets out. And I hear these things. They come back to me probably a long time later compared to what you know, but I do get the information. Maybe there's things that you need to start praying to God for, about in your life. God, do you want me to use my gift to build the church? See, being his disciple means that you desire growth that comes from God. You know where you fit and what your function is. Romans 12:5 says this, we being many are the body of Christ, and, look at this, individually. Give yourself a bit of a pat somewhere. Individually, members of one another. So individually, you are important. Yeah? Individually, God cares about you, loves you. And secondly, you're important to the bigger body of Christ and what God wants to use you for in the vision going forward for this house. Yes? How cool is that? You have a purpose right there. And so commit to being you. Because in being you, you develop into being the best disciple. Let me read you this quick illustration that I happened to read about a pastor in America. It was quite good. We had a young man in our church that was on trial. Remember the context? What are we talking about? It's part two. Be you. Oh yeah? Be you. All right? Brand new Christian. Better put that pin in, don't I? So we had a young man in our church that was on trial. He had already spent time in prison and was looking at a possible 20-year sentence. He committed the crime before his recent conversion. Both the judge and the prosecuting attorney admitted the man's life had been transformed by God. But they wanted some measure of justice for the crime, so they sentenced him to 6 months in a short-term prison. The Sunday before he left, we laid hands on him, sending him out as a missionary to a field that none of us could get into. As a result of this infiltration, over 60 of the approximate 110 prisoners confessed Christ within 1 year. Oh, it's not a weak clap, that's like a wow! How cool is that? See, too many people see the church as an insignificant, of no consequence. They come and get their needs met and they think when their needs are met, God's met their needs and it happens all the time. That's it. No, it's not it. God is going to make you a disciple. He wants to make disciples. Go therefore. You cannot just turn up when you need a problem solved and expect God to solve it. And he may well solve it because he's a gracious and loving God. But he wants all of us to be committed to the greater cause of causing damage to the kingdom of hell. There's 60 prisoners that were going to hell who are now going to heaven. Because this young man, this young disciple, said, you know what? I'm with my... What did he do? He allowed other people to get around him, pray for him. This is your mission field. And he took it seriously. Wow. So too many people are in the church for the wrong reasons. We're first in church because we want to have a relationship with God and use what he has given us to minister to our dying world. Go therefore... Thanks, Graham. When you are his disciple, when you imitate me as I imitate Christ, as Paul says, nothing can stop his church from achieving the Great Commission. Make disciples. Turn to your neighbor and say, make a disciple. See, when you are his disciple, you will get a revelation of what God intends you to do within his church. When you are actually in the zone of actually being why we've been talking about the presence of God on our life, because when we're in the zone of God, when we're having a relationship with God, when we're in prayer with God, we're relating with Him, we understand the Word of God, we suddenly get context for why the church is so vital. We are destined, the Bible says, to overcome. Every conversion plunders hell. It's why I'll do an altar call whether someone comes forward or not, or because every conversion plunders hell. They may not come to this church, but you don't know what seeds have been planted and where they end up. Every conversion is important to the kingdom of God. Every miracle, wow, wasn't that awesome hearing from Gaydu this morning? Every miracle destroys the works of the devil. Every God encounter is an invasion of the Almighty into our desperate condition. Every time we come into the presence of God, every time we're desperate, who noticed that when you're desperate for something, that God invades, and how much does suddenly there's a joy that you've never experienced before? So you can lift your faith today and believe for a greater future. Who's going to believe with me this morning that we can be the greatest disciples? That we can connect in the house of God, that we can belong to one another, that we can have our very best life and affect those that don't understand what Christians are all about. But if we're not all we're about, then how can anyone else be? Revelation 12:11, going right through the Bible this morning. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Whose testimony? Your testimony. What's your testimony going to be this morning? Yana, if you'd like to come. What's your testimony going to be? You, his disciple, have dominion. Just sit there, don't play it. Never said that before, have I? She's following, though. Let's give her a hand. That's funny. I just realised I wanted to say one more illustration. Daniel was likely 15 years old. See, there's one more point which I haven't got to, which I need to finish on. And that is, that when we're righteous, when there's a holiness about, see, disciples have got to be holy. And Daniel was likely 15 years old when he went to and was involved in a nation that was, well, it wasn't anything about God. It was corrupt. They were idol worshippers. They were into occult practices in a big way. And he actually went there. And but because of his wisdom, grew up, as you know, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he grew up to be incredible in that land. Did he change his focus from his Lord? He actually determined, didn't he? He even opened the windows, and he actually said that I will always follow my Lord, the Lord of my life is the God of heaven that created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. And what happened was that there was this situation that came because the king, who was, wow, he was an interesting fellow. And he wanted to, he said, I'm killing all the magicians and I'm going to kill all the astrologers because you're all worthless. You're all hopeless. But unless you can tell me my dream and interpret my dream. Now, what did Daniel do? He became a servant for the rest of the people. He was righteous before. He didn't want anyone to perish, whether what they believed or not what they believed. And how important is it? And if we're going to be a disciple of God, how important is it that we don't get we are in the world. We are not to just totally forget about those people. We are to mix with them, but we still follow our God. Yeah. So we don't like shun these people, They are God's people. He's with magicians and astrologers and everything else. They practice occult practices. They're into witchcraft. They're into all sorts of stuff. But it was Daniel being a servant to those people. Don't kill them. He said to the king, please, I'll interpret your dream because my God of heaven is greater than any other God. So we don't know what God can use us for unless we become totally focused on being his disciple. And in our Western world, we have to be careful that we don't get consumed by the things of this world and forget what we're on planet Earth for. So I'd love as many people to come with me to Africa next year so that you can be changed forever, because when you become a disciple and you understand how other people live, it changes your life forever. Daniel made it over the hurdle, not because he was great. He was victorious because of his devotion to the one who is great. Thanks, Yana. Will you make a difference in your world? Why don't you just bow your head? You don't have to close your eyes, but why don't we just bow our heads for a moment? Are you going to make a difference in your world? Are you prepared to live a little bit different but still associate? Daniel didn't eat the king's delicacies because he knew that he needed to do the things that God had asked him to do. The Bible is the things that God has asked us to do. Separation to God is demonstrated in personal lifestyle, not associations. Every disciple's strong suit is in their ability to serve another. This morning, will you make your life count? Why don't we stand to our feet? Will you make your life count? Will you say, no matter what it takes, Lord Jesus, this is something between you and God. No matter what it takes, I'm going to be your disciple, Lord. Disciples follow. Will you commit this morning? I want to ask you to do three things. And if that's you, I want you to come forward. And I'm just going to do a joint prayer for everyone that comes forward. Are you committing this morning that you will be a disciple that will follow others? Especially those who lead in various groups in this house or wherever you are. Disciples are prepared. Daniel was prepared to follow an occultish king. He was a servant and God raised him up. Will you follow? Will you follow your boss at work, regardless of what you think of him? Will you follow? Secondly, will you be secure in your identity and say, God, I'm trusting you. I thank you for who I am. Doesn't matter what I think of myself. I know I'm secure because you're in my life. And lastly, will you be prepared to be victorious because you've set apart your life, your holiness towards God? If that's you, please start filing forward this morning. I don't mind how many come, but I'd love to pray a joint prayer before we finish this meeting today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else, quickly come. Time's gone. I don't want to be too long on this, but come on. Let's be disciples this morning. You're saying, I'm prepared to serve. I'm prepared to give. I'm prepared to do what it takes. Go, therefore, I will go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just file right forward so there's no one in the aisle. That'd be great. Come up on stage if you need to. Thank you, God. Pastor Helen, Pastor Charlie, I'll get you to help here. Just start. But I'm just going to pray a joint prayer. Father God, Father God, Father God, James Patar, you should be out here. Come out. I don't think you're understanding the pronunciation. Can you talk to your African friends and just say, you want to be a disciple? Come forward. Just talk. ask them to come. Father God. Father God. Come on, this is a moment. It's a holy moment. Jonathan and Sheila, come forward. Come on. We should all be. I want to be here as well. This is important. Thank you, God. Anyone else? Father God, if you're a Connect group leader, you should be here. Father God. Doug and James, come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Why don't we just link shoulders this morning? Just link shoulders just for one moment. Father, I thank you for the unity across the body of Christ this morning. Father, I pray that we will be your disciples. Lord, you have called us for greater things. Lord, we are not here for ourselves. We are here for the greater cause of Christ. And I pray today for myself and for this great group of people, Father. Lord, and for these people that represent our house, our church that you have given us here in this city, Father, I pray that we would be your, Lord, that we would see the things that you see, that as we relate with you, that as we talk with our friends, that Father, that we would be a disciple-making church. And Lord, that we would go out into the nations, Father God. And Father, that we would see things happen, Father, that we thought impossible in our own strength. But I would say to you that I would do it not in your strength, but in my strength. Oh my God, my God, my God. Touch lives today. Touch lives. Thank you, Lord. This is a new day.